Jessica, is it true that you were dancing with physicist Stephen Hawking in India?
Yep.
How did that happen? He's in a wheelchair.
Well, that's how he dances. He spins his wheelchair around. You know, every one of the dramatic stories in Roll Around Heaven, I was going to do something else, and then this happened. So in this case, I had a vision of I didn't know who it was. I found out later, but the Indian deity, the Hindu deity Ganesh, mm-hmm. with the little Indian head, and it had awakened me, and there it was, real as real. And I told a friend of mine about it. She goes, "Oh, Ganesh, I have a little statue, you know, by my computer." And I mean, you say something, and all these, you find out all these things about people. And she said, "I think you should go to India." Well, the next week, the editor of a golf magazine calls me and said, "You know, do you have any golf stories in India? I'd like to get some kind of mystical golf guy tips." And so I knew about a guy who was supposedly enlightened. He used to run the Bank of India, and then he got enlightened. And they say he figured out he was enlightened because he knew what his teacher was going to say before he said it. And I said, "Well, yeah, wives do that to their husbands every day. That's no big deal." And but anyway, he used to be a scratch golfer. So I went to interview him, and I stayed in the Oberoi, Mumbai. This is in Mumbai. And this was in early 2000. And I didn't know it, but there was a string theory conference going on at that hotel. And so I'm over every morning, you know, interviewing or sitting at the feet of this banker guy. And meanwhile, the brainiest physicists in the world were having a conference in the hotel. So one night I came back, and I took kind of a detour because the lobby was packed, and I heard this great music, much like what was just playing on your station. And I love to dance, so I kind of poked my head in and saw this room filled with the dweebiest looking guys I'd ever seen. And this guy kind of looks at me, and he said, "Cambridge?" And I said, "Oh, no, U of O. I went to the University of Oregon." He goes, "Oh, Oxford then." And I go, "Oh, no, you know, University of Oregon, you know, go Ducks." And then he goes, "Oh, zoology." And I go, no, I'm golf." And then he thought I said Gödel. And Gödel, of course, is 1930s as a physicist. I'm kind of a very amateur follower of quantum physics. And we got into this just outrageously silly conversation where I kept saying, "Well, no, I'm just a pea brain." And then he thought I worked on pea brains, you know, P-B-R-A-N-E, which is short for membrane, which is part of superstring theory. And I just kept getting worse and worse. And finally, they turned the music down, or the lights down, and turned up the music, and people started dancing. And we're bouncing around, and I thought, man, physicists dance like excited electrons. See, they just bounce up and down.
With no rhythm, right?
None. And out of the corner of my eye, I caught something swirling horizontally. And I looked, and it was Stephen Hawking in his wheelchair, and he wheeled over and got in the middle of us like the nucleus and just spun around. And that's how he was dancing.
He was having a great time.
Yeah, he really, really was. And that chapter in Roll Around Heaven is called Dancing with Stephen Hawking. And it's a favorite of a lot of people's because it was it's very funny, and it's also, you know, I mean,
well,
there I
you
was.
Know, it's so great though. He doesn't let his affliction stop you.
No, and I mean, to have Lou Gehrig's disease, and I think he's been lived with it for 30 years or something. It's just the power of the mind, you know, it's just amazing.
It truly is. I've got a friend confined to a wheelchair. His name's Patrick. Mm. And, you know, this guy drives a car. He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had this frigid weather out here in the Midwest for the past.
We've read about it.
And you know what? He'll just get in his wheelchair and he'll go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just amazing. His heater in his car wasn't working, and we got that fixed for him.
Oh.
And it's just amazing at how they can just go beyond whatever affliction they have.
Yep.
And just keep going.
They're models for all of us. And that's like major gratitude for what they do have, which is they're still alive and they can do stuff, you know. I have a friend who's pretty crippled up with rheumatoid arthritis, and she's just cheerful and amazing. Same kind of thing.
I'm sure you've come across some great stories that didn't make the book as well. as an author myself, I know what that's like when you have to weed through so much material.
Yeah.
Any favorites that never made it?
Yes, and of course I'm saving it for another book. I'm very interested in Celtic, early Celtic spirituality is very similar to Hinduism. And in fact, the words in Gaelic for kind of high-minded concepts like noble and valiant and fair, they're identical to Sanskrit. They're not like it, sort of. They're identical. So there's this really neat connection. Well, I was in Wales on a magazine travel assignment. It was a Christmas in Wales story, and we stayed at an old, beautiful old hotel that used to be Queen Victoria's summer home. And it was on an estuary on the coast, and just very big, plain, but beautiful place. And we walked in, and the moment I stepped foot in this hotel, this house, my little, forehead movie screen kicked in, and I saw that there was a female spirit there. And so the woman of the couple who ran the hotel and owned it, I took her aside and I said, has anyone ever told you there's a female ghost here? And she turned bright red and she said, yes, and she likes you very much. And she said, do you see anything else? And I said, well, I have to go get quiet. I'll go see. So I went up to my room and my husband let me have a little moment, and I sat there, and all of a sudden I saw a woman. This is again on my little forehead screen, mental movie screen. I saw a woman kind of like dressed maybe from the 1500s, a kitchen maid, obviously in the kitchen and doing something with the hearth, plates on a rack on the wall, long gray gown or, you know, dress, and a little thing on her head. And then she turned, and she was very, very pregnant. And then instantly the image switched to the same woman. And I, for a second, I thought she'd been hung because she was, you know, limp with her head on her shoulder. And then I realized she was being burned. And I just was horrified. And I had to wait through the whole dinner before I could tell Joni, the owner, what I'd seen. I finally, we got, Tom, my husband and I got to sit with her in the parlor after everyone had gone to bed, and I told her, and she burst into tears. And she said that 5 years earlier, a very famous UK medium had come to the hotel and had told her exactly the same thing, and she'd been waiting the whole time to have it confirmed. And then she asked if we knew, forget his name, somebody, the hanging judge. And Tom, my husband's a history buff, and he knew who it was. And she said, well, you know, he was one of those witch hunt guys who was always hanging midwives and, herbalists and burning them, I mean. And she said the burning judge. And he lived in that village in Wales. And so this whole thing was really making sense. And then she named this ghost Polly. And she fully believed she was Polly. And then she said she found out about her. She was walking downstairs when they were renovating the hotel when they first bought it, and it was steep and there was no railing, and she started to fall, and these arms caught her. And so we were talking. I said, but Joni, how could you be alive in your body with your spirit and then Polly's still here? And she just wouldn't talk about that. She was Polly, and that was the end of it. And it wasn't until I got home that I realized I think she was the baby. That's what I think. So her soul was, if you will, at one with Polly's. And in her awareness, they weren't separate.